This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. If you've been paying attention to Texas politics for a little while, you should be familiar with the name Susan Combs. She was the state's top money manager for close to a decade, serving as controller until last year. Before that, she was Texas Agriculture Commissioner and a state representative. But though she was once among the most powerful figures in state politics, she remains unsatisfied with the treatment and position of women. So, she decided to take what was left in her political coffers and start a nonprofit aimed at helping women lift each other up. She's also written a book called Texas Tenacity, A Call for Women to Direct Their Destiny. Susan Combs, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thanks so much, David.
I read this desire to really focus yourself on women as coming up out of, something that happened recently in your hometown, Austin. Tell us about that.
Yeah. In about March of 2015, there had been an election and a majority of the council members were going to be female. Mm-hmm. And some brilliant staffer on the council decided that, my gosh, this was such a shock, and that to deal with women, they needed to hire a special consultant because women were notorious for two things. They asked a lot of questions, which obviously was going to be time consuming and wasteful, and they didn't understand about numbers. Well, the guy they hired, he got most of his experience from listening to his daughter, but he patted himself on the back by saying, well, I answered all of her questions patiently, which I thought meant boded ill for the upbringing of the girl. That really hacked me off, and stronger language has been used elsewhere. Yes. Really hacked me off, and I decided if this happens in Austin, which is, you know, known for being so-called progressive, then there's something deeply wrong.
I have to ask you about something, and I hope I have the page turned to it right, but it's actually in your introduction. Yes. You say that basically we women have the tools necessary if we choose to use them.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking a lot of women who feel like they've been kicking it at the bricks for a long time think, wait a minute, we're trying to use them, but what short of dynamite? I mean, how would you respond to that?
I would say that some portion of women, and this is well documented, unfortunately, by research, we don't believe we have the tools. We don't lack the necessary self-confidence to do it. Now, for the woman who's facing a glass ceiling problem, she's in an entirely different category, and there are absolutely gender biases at play. And women, in fact, we sometimes are guilty of the same kinds of gender bias as men are. But there's also this fact that we are so good at sitting down and being good in school and not making a mess and not making a fuss, we don't, in many cases, have the self-confidence, although we're fully capable.
Here's a sort of a lumpy question, but I think one that kind of goes to the political climate right now. There's a lot of conversation about identity politics and the role that that has played, certainly in the past general election. You're talking about gender politics, and I think in a way that some people would say, wow, that sort of sounds like the sort of identity politics that has been associated with the Democratic Party. You're a Republican. Do you find people eyebrows raise when you bring up this issue?
No, I'm very much of an individualist. I would say that I'm a person first with certain views and kind of a woman second. I don't identify myself as, oh my gosh, you better do something for me because I'm a woman. I've never felt that.
Sure.
And so I don't think it's political in my case.
So why is it? Why is it then that you believe that this is an issue you need to dedicate this chapter of your life to, the issue of women?
Because they're half of the population, and we control 65% to 70% of the buying decisions, and we are not given respect in the media. I find it astonishing that when you take a look at something like 66% of all the graduates of communications colleges are female, and yet there's about 24, 25, 26, 27, 28% of the people hired in the newspapers women. So there's a pipeline full of people. Women's voices are not being heard because they're not being hired.
Was there a point in your career where the issue of gender became something that was truly important to you, sort of rose to that level? Because as you were talking about, you were doing what had to be done in so many cases, right?
Well, in one particular case, this moron who ran our local electric co-op said to me in a meeting, and it was because I was female, about a power line. He said, Susan, if I explained it to you, you wouldn't understand it. Well, that got me, to quote my friend, very pissed off. And I decided that is bogus. He probably would not have said that to a man, but he said that to me, and I was outraged. And anytime I said that to a group of women, everybody takes this big inhalation of air. They all get their blood up, but they don't know what to do about it.
You've said that this isn't a political issue for you. And in fact, you've reached out and embraced the work of women on the other side of the aisle, including Wendy Davis and Amy Poehler.
And Amy Schumer. I'm sorry. I love that fake commercial.
Why do you think it's important to support other women, even if you don't agree with them politically?
Because I'm supporting women. And, you know, I don't agree with Wendy's views, but I absolutely support her right to do what she wants to do, to run for office. And it's all about supporting other women, whatever they want to do, their job, their role.
Are you a feminist?
I'm a personist. I believe in people being able to fulfill their potential. I've got three sons. I want them to fulfill their potential. I want every man, woman, child, wherever situated, whatever type, to have the ability to direct their destiny to the life they want.
Your nonprofit, Herdacity, is launching soon. Website, phone-based. I gather you're going to be bringing together in small groups and one-on-one conversations, women answering questions for each other and, I guess, around the campfire, if you will. Give us an example of how that might actually work in a practical sense.
So I've had a woman contact me the other day, and she really didn't know what to do. She works for a company in another city, and she didn't know how to deal with her employer, a male employer, her boss. And so I gave her some sort of zinger one-liners, which I refer to as shower talk. You really say great stuff when you're in the shower. I mean, you might not want to, you know, release it for public scrutiny. But we want to help each other. And so it's not so much, well, here's how you write your resume. It's not like there's plenty of websites to do that. What there is not is this open, free, safe place where you can come in as Mary S. or MS. You don't have to give us your name. And you can ask a question and you can voice things that you might not be able to voice someplace else, but that are really a burr under your personal saddle that really bug you. And we want to help you get past that.
But let's talk about how this ultimately hits home. As I understand it, you have a granddaughter?
Yeah. She's about almost 18 months old.
Wow. Congratulations.
And I'm not letting anybody shut a door in her face.
Susan Combs is the author of Texas Tenacity, A Call for Women to Direct Their Destiny. She's also the founder of the new nonprofit, Herdacity. Thanks so much for stopping by. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, David.